Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Father, we were created by you to be where you are. We are created intentionally by you for a purpose, Lord. And that is to be loved by you, to receive your love, to draw in close to you, to come into oneness with you, to have very intense and romantic and loving and kind fellowship with you. We just thank you, Lord, that your word so clearly tells us that we're seated in heavenly places with you. We thank you, Lord, that we can exist in the realm of the Spirit in a way that's very relatable to you and tangible and enjoyable and stimulating and encountering. You've created us, oh God, that way. And if we settle for anything less than that, Lord, we're settling for a mediocre relationship. You look at us, Papa. You're not measuring us by our works and what we do, how we do it. But you're so desirous to fuel our hearts with intense passion for you, and that flame of love comes from you and you alone. As you spark that deep, intense heart of connection, we just cry out for that to be increased in this season. We know, Lord, that you love to demonstrate your love through us so that we can feel your presence, know that you're ever close. You created us, Lord, to know you, to sense you, to hear your voice, to see you, to hear you, to relate to you so personally. That's the message of love that defies all reason, just defies the imagination and rises way above any type of intellectual understanding. We're just so grateful that your Spirit lives inside of us. So grateful, Lord, that we can live in resurrection life here on this side, here in this world, here at this time. And Lord, that you are so interpersonally connected everywhere, Lord. Your presence is everywhere. And you so designed us to cry out for your presence in our heart and our life and every sphere of influence that we live in, that we would be catapulted into that place of intimacy where your fiery inferno grabs us and will never let go, because you are a jealous God. And that jealousy that burns so brightly and intensely seals our hearts that we would never be the same, fills us with hope and everlasting joy, knowing that we can walk in this world and soar in this world in peace, even in the midst of the most dreadful circumstances, for you bring good out of everything in our lives, for those who know you have been called according to your purpose. For you are a good God. You are good. We thank you, Lord, for that goodness today. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that we may know you, that we may commune with you. You are not just a helper, you're our friend. Thank you for the revelation of Father's heart and love through you, and the great love and sacrifice and connection with Jesus that brings us into your throne room, Lord, as we enter boldly with confidence, approaching your throne of grace and mercy, knowing us that you hear us in our time of need. Oh, we celebrate you. You're amazing. You just lift your voices and tell Him, you're so amazing. Oh, you're such an amazing Papa. Oh, we honor you today. We honor you, O King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We give you honor and glory and praise, for you are worthy. You are the Lamb that was slain before the foundation of the world. You are glorious and victorious. And to you we say yes. To you we say amen. To you we say for all eternity that our love and our fire would increase. Oh, for your name's sake, for the Lamb's reward, we say yes. You are awesome, God. Just tell Him how wonderful He is, how magnificent He is. Just sing out to Him, you are so beautiful. Oh, beautiful one. You are so glorious and lovely. You are the epitome of beauty. Praise you this morning. We praise you. We lift our voices and sing hallelujah to you. We say hosanna to you. For the Lord is risen, and we celebrate you every day. Oh, yes, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that we would never be the same again. Thank you, Lord. Yes, Lord.
At your awesomeness, that you would love and guide me, that you have taken all my sorrows and promised me a beautiful tomorrow. What can I say to tell you thank you? What can I give you?
Thank you, Jesus. Yes, Lord.
When I give,
thank you, Jesus. Wow. Yes, Lord. Father, your word tells us in Luke 10:27 that we shall, your word says, you shall love me with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and all your strength. Today we declare fresh and anew again. Let it be. Let it be in our lives, Lord, that every part of us is consecrated to you and set apart. That as we step into, Lord, the depth of your heart this morning, that the gratitude inside of us will rise and our thankful hearts will just take over, Lord. For we are eternally grateful. May it grow. Maybe that flame just burn brighter and brighter inside. May it be. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Ooh. Our ever-personal Lord is here right now. He's in our midst. You are here, O God. Your presence is here. And you are increasing yourself. Thank you for your love. Thank you. Thank you, Lord, that today will be a new day for us to see with eyes what really matters. That our schedules, the ways that we do things, will have greater release of your presence as we give you me. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that we have the privilege in this country to meet with you. Thank you, Lord, that as we begin this National Day of Prayer week, that we have the honor of declaring your word in a country where we have the freedom to do so, and we can hold a Bible and decree and share your word in the spirit realm for all ears to hear. Thank you, Lord. We are so blessed. So blessed. Father, bring out your people this week to pray, to read your word, and declare throughout the week, Lord God, that you reign, that you do reign here, and we will never let go of that, let go of you. And we will stand. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. When our eyes are fixed on things above, set on things above and not on earthly things, it's amazing how things grow strangely dim in the light of the Lord. It's amazing. The Lord set it up that way. And he gave us a picture in the Old Testament, among many, of a type in a way in the Old Testament to be able to see how many made choices and consecrated themselves to the Lord, set apart for his purposes, set apart for his heart to be completely revealed, set apart for an expression of fire, holiness, purity, and power that would overwhelm the places that they would go, the people that they would influence. The Lord is raising up in this generation, all ages, those who desire that type of heart. It's a Nazarite heart. It's for the young, it's for the older, it's for the large, it's for the small. And the Lord is saying, today is the day you can step into declaring and decreeing that, yes, Lord, have your way, and deposit in me, ignite me on fire, deposit in me that very flame that will burn, because I can't do it myself. I can't step in and fire myself up. I can't step in and do this. Only you make it possible. For you are a jealous God. We live in serious times, joyfully serious times. And the Lord says, those who look to him are radiant in Psalm 34. Their faces will never be covered in shame. Those whose eyes are set on his face and hearts are set like flint will shine and resonate with the radiance and the glory of God. It's the manifestation of the Lord. This is what he is. It's what you are, Lord. He says, I will do that for you. Please, if you're too busy, slow down. It's my heart that I want you to release in you. I want to release in you. It's my heart. It's not what you do for me. It's the closeness that you are within my heart, and I'm in yours. And the rest will just absolutely flow. The Lord in this season is igniting people of passion. They will be people who are gifted, talented, anointed, prophets, apostles, pastors, teachers, evangelists, many, many people. But the Lord will say, and is saying actually across the board around the world, he's saying, I'm looking for my passionate ones. I'm looking for those that I can infuse with my fire that they can't muster up. And I will do it as you lay down and let me. That's what he's doing. We are dedicated here to the best we know we can say. We're dedicated, Lord, to raise up these little babies and these children. And all of us are his kids. We are so dedicated there. It drives a passionate person. And then choices follow after the passion. Because the atmosphere is so pregnant, the glory and presence of God, that to be anywhere else isn't worth it. Because that's what he's doing right now. He's drawing all men unto him, and women and children. It's very fun. I heard earlier this week something I didn't know. You know, for several years we've been going over to our land in Ghana and putting a Kingdom Bible school on for the pastors and indigenous leaders there. And it doubled this past summer. It was like, wow. But the idea is that people will step into who they are and do something. And so apparently one of our students was just so ignited. He went out an hour outside of the farthest place, one of the farthest places, and planted a church. Mateus, if you remember him. Anybody wants to get my email up, you can see a picture from Pastor Samuel. Children can see it. The Lord says, you will see the fruit of your labors. You will see the children there and the adults there. And those who have a new beginning, you'll see the new church start. You'll see the little children who need clothes to go to the school now that they're starting to step out of this place of being lost. They are now found. Can we just give a shout? Say, thank you, Lord. Another church planted. Another one planted. And that's just the beginning. So when the Ghana team goes this year, oh my, what will the Lord do? One church is great. But the Lord says, how about the multitudes? And so there's 14 up there now, just in Ghana North. Wow. Nice, Lord. Lord, you have a real plan. You have a plan to raise up the world changers. You have a plan to raise up the missionaries. You have a plan to raise up. Mateus is the guy in the tie. Raise up those who really are serious, who want the same thing you do. Can you find the one that has a group? It's a group shot. And that's our little church. Pastor Samuel said 22 to 25 people. Just to start. That's a big deal in a village that doesn't know Jesus, has nothing out there, absolutely nothing. But this man was so wrecked by the power of God's love there. And you were there, whether you were physically there or not. So praise the Lord for the new church plant. And the name of it is, what's it say on the bottom? What's it say? It does in the email. Yeah, maybe go up a little bit. So it's in the email in the subject line. But anyway, praise the Lord for that. The Lord is very, very specific, you know. He's drawing us into his love. He's saying, okay, I know I want to increase your fire and your flame. I want to increase you, increase you, increase you. I want to promote you. I want to accelerate you. I want you to ascend. I want you to have more and more because I'm a God who blesses. But this is one of the tangible blessings that we can see real people who now are saved out of hell. Isn't that so fun? May we always be excited about that. Yeah. So many things are on my heart this morning. And I'm going to give some key points today about a Nazarite heart. I've spoken before. I've said some things about it. We've prayed. We have sung. We have stepped in. So it's not completely new. And I will release the children in a moment. But I want them to hear this because it's probably a word they've not heard. And those who will be teaching them today who will miss the depth of this message, I exhort you, if you would be so kind, to get this, listen to it, and take the handout today as your personal joy for yourself, for your family, as well as those you'll be modeling and imparting to. So you can move in that realm in greater depth. Because the Lord's doing something. And we just want to track with him, don't we? Amen? So the word is Nazarite, children. And you'll be hearing more about that. Okay? And it's not a group that you belong to. It's a condition of your heart. We're going to talk about that today, that the Lord can continue to explode on the inside of us, knowing that He is definitely searching for those whose hearts are completely His. He's searching to and fro. 2 Chronicles 16:9, all around the world looking. He's saying, is she one? Does she want to be? Does she understand who she is? Does she know that I want to set her so on fire that nothing, no bad day, will change her fervor and fire? No bad day, no rough day will change the passion on the inside, even as you walk through the challenges. That's what God wants to do. We can't do that. When we try to do it ourselves, we feel condemned because we've tried to do it ourselves. But when we learn what we can do and how we can posture ourselves, that's when the power releases over us. And once we step in, the Lord says, I want you to guard who you are now, who you've become. So children are released to kingdom land. Cool project video. So, did you get what? Yeah, we'll switch gears. There's some who are going. We have an outreach for the local area, and we're very much involved in that. We want you to see this very short clip before we get into the next part of the message. We've had this for a while, and Troy has been so faithful, saying, "Is today the day?" And we just keep moving. So this is called the Cool Project, and we will be participating June 4th in downtown Canton. It's one of our local endeavors that we have the privilege of connecting with others in. We weren't able to participate. The Ghana team will be gone, but the Mozambique team will still be here. So that's really nice. So we'll be able to participate in that. And Mike and Joe headed that up last year. Now Troy and Rachel are doing that this year. And Carl and Darlene are jumping in where they can as well. So we're really blessed. So take a few minutes and carve this out in your schedule if you can. That would be wonderful. Just want to draw your attention to a large picture here of a guy who looks... Can we biggie size that? I don't know. Get your glasses out. Well, there's a person on the edge of a cliff. Hopefully not skydiving or anything. I don't know, does that get larger? It might. It's a possibility. Someday. So, all right. Just notice some of the pictures here. There's a good one. Very small and not able to be seen too well. Help us, Lord. But the idea is to see someone who is attempting to continue to climb up a cliff that does not look like an easy feat. This looks like something very challenging, unless you're Mark Varian and you know you just absolutely love climbing mountains. So, but these are some examples of people who are trekking forward, going up, trying to do what seems to be to the normal, average, everyday person impossible. I don't think I want to, let alone could I possibly be able to do it. So those two factors would hinder many of us, probably most of us, from wanting to do that, to climb this high mountain or climb a mountain like this. Now here's a buddy system, and that's really nice, except if the guy in the front is in trouble, so is the guy in the back and vice versa. So we still have some problems, but you do see that there's a team approach, at least with two right now. You some other ones. And here we have some who are still, you know, it's not Sound of Music, and they're not going over the Alps or anything, but they're actually climbing here. They have their gear, but they do have the family team approach, and they're going through the mountains trying to continue forward, and they're trying to accelerate. We're hoping and trusting. But the attitude inside of them, we're trusting and believing for this scenario, is how far can I go, and how high can I climb, and how long will it take me? Not do I have to, And is it something that's required? But there's something inside. There's an internal drive of some kind, for some reason. There's a motivation of the heart which propels someone to do something like this, to be able to conquer or feel a sense of conquering, if you will. And in the natural, that's a fun thing, to be able to say, Lord, this body and everything that goes along with it, hopefully with your help, has enabled me to do this. It's always going to be the help of the Lord, because without him we can do nothing. But many people don't see it that way. But for those who do see, there are great and mighty things that we can do, great and mighty exploits. There are places that we can go that we know not of. There are abilities that we do have that we may not know of. We have giftings, callings, and anointings that are still being honed and being developed, and some being released and some being imparted and such. And the Lord has us in process. But what he is after, as we were singing about this morning, is our heart to come to a place that we are so dissatisfied with mediocrity, so dissatisfied with the norm, that we have this drive on the inside that will not stop. It pulsates and it moves and it propels us to go forward, always saying, how high can I go, Lord? How far can I go? How far will you let me go? Misty Edwards sings a song like that. How far will you let me go? How far do you want to go? Lord, how far can I go? As far as you want to go. How far will I see? How far do you want to see? The Lord gives us the choices. But the good news is that as we make a choice, he's also drawing us. He's pulling us to himself. This is the key. Because we many times forget that, thinking it's all up to us. If we would just be more spiritual, please, things would happen. Spirituality is a state of the heart. I said, spirituality is a state of the heart. And the Lord is saying, I'm after your heart. And your heart, being corralled by me, will affect what you choose, how you choose. It will happen, because that's the nature of who we are in God's eyes. That's how he has designed us. So therefore, as we're making career choices, choices for the summer, choices for today, this evening, whatever it would be, as we're choosing to allow the Lord just to completely take over. I love that song at the end. I didn't know what the song list was. Like, oh, wow, this is just fitting right in. The Lord is saying, I'm just after little old you, because the little old yous will change the world. Because the Lord says, I am bigger than anything. So that is the tenor of our heart today. As we're looking at some of these pictures, thinking about this, would I do that? Could I do that? Should I do that? And where does the Lord fit into that? Think of your spiritual walk with him. Think of your heart saying, I don't know, Lord. I'm really ready to go in these areas. I can learn and listen and hear with my mind about all the greats in the Bible who stepped in and said, I'm set apart for you. I'm consecrated for you. I'll grow my hair long. I won't drink wine and I won't touch any dead thing. I'm going to be set apart for you. But you see, there were Levitical priests in the Old Testament, and they had a very important job. They were monitoring the religious environment, if you would, and they were the priests of the time that were entrusted with that job, if you would, to monitor what was going on. And so they had a specific set of rules and such, and it was for the Levitical priests. But the Lord says that we are all kings and priests, and we are all to be priests. So he gave opportunities in the Old Testament, as ways for us to be able to step in and see what will be, as a type, a foreshadowing of what was to come. So he gave us examples. He gave us Samson in the Bible. He gave us Daniel in the Bible. He gave us Samuel in the Bible. And in the New Testament, he gave us Paul in the Bible. He gave us Deborah in the Old Testament. Many people who were set apart, consecrated, by decision and also by drawing and calling together, that's the beauty of the Lord, to be able to step in and say, whatever you want. And I will set myself apart because of the seriousness of what you're calling me to do, above and beyond the Levitical priests. And these people were called Nazarites. These were just the common folk. These were people who would just step in and say, count me in. The nation's in trouble. It's filled with idols. There's all kinds of lust. There's perversion. We're going to heck in a handbag. This is not good. We need to step up. We need a deliverer. And I will be part of stepping into that. Thank you, God, so that you can use me for the deliverance, because it's your power. But I will allow you, invite you, not just allow, but invite you for such a time as this. It's amazing. So as we study, and we're going to look at some of the passages in here as we study the type of living that many embraced. John the Baptist, as a forerunner, the forerunner of all forerunners, embracing the coming of Jesus and being set apart from the beginning, from the womb, set apart, filled with the Spirit of God, fasting and praying, living in the desert. It's amazing. It's like, whoa, how could he do that? Is he crazy? Crazy in love, but empowered by our King. It's amazing. The Lord says, you can live that life. No. You can live a life crazier, because the Spirit of God lives in you, because you're under a new and better covenant. It's like, whoa, what's that mean, God? That means I'm going to raise up people to take a place and step into a realm in society today to be able to take back ground the enemy has stolen and do it with great authority, with great accountability, with great humility. And those were the earmarks, those areas, those were some components of what a Nazirite looked like in the Old Testament, or even the New. People who love not their life unto the death. This revelation tells us that people who were overcomers, even in the Old Testament, doing great exploits for the Lord. I came across this definition. I just wanted to read it. It's John Melindy, in his provocative book, Set Apart for God, gives an excellent understanding of the word Nazirites. I just wanted to read it to you. It says, one morning while I was reading the Bible, the Lord brought to my attention the word Nazirite. It is a word that does not occur very often in the Bible. And until that time, I thought I knew everything about it. I looked up in the Bible package on my computer to see what it really meant, and I found out that the word is spelled in one of two ways. Nazirite with an A, or Nazirite with an I. This is because the word has two Hebrew roots. One is the Hebrew root word Nazir, N-A-Z-I-R, which from Nazirite comes, which means set apart for God, sanctified, consecrated to reflect God's glory. In essence, Nazir means removed from common standards in order to meet the standard of God. Removed from common standards in order to meet the standard of God. What would that be? The second Hebrew root word is Nazir, from which we get the word Nazirite, which has a similar meaning, which is elevated above others, set apart, given authority over the land. Combined, the two Hebrew words speak of being set apart, purified, being made to reflect the glory of God, raised above the norm, and given authority over the nation. So as a nation or the world is moving towards aspects of destruction or peril, danger, the Lord wants to revive, bring revival, which is really bringing us back to obedience for the standard of God that he has already set. That's really what revival is. But it's him, and it's his fire being released to enable us to say, no way. I am a fasting, praying, crazy, in love with Jesus person, and you're not getting past my door. And if you thought you did in the past, excuse me, I'm taking it back. For the region, for the nation, for the country, wherever I am, the sphere of influence that the Lord is releasing me into. He's saying, how hot do you want to burn? We're created to burn. We're created to be set on fire. That's our DNA. He didn't create us to sit in a bunch of pews, even though we have pews. It's okay. But he created us to burn in those pews right now, to shake, rattle, and roll. He created us this way. He created us to have such an impact and influence wherever we are, be it the college campuses, our high schools, be it the business sector, whatever realm of influence we have, our homeland, Just wherever we are, we're home with our kids, whatever it is, the Lord is saying, you were created to burn. And if you burn, you will beget burning. And people will be drawn to you and they will burn. They will be attracted. They will want to burn. They can't help it because the atmosphere that you carry will be so consuming and so burning. You will be so attractive that others will just begin to burn because they were created also to burn. Hope. And that is the burning heart of a Nazarite that nobody can take away. Nobody can snuff out. And the Lord knows it and he sustains it. Oh, wow. And he says, I've created you to burn and finish well. So once the burning begins, burn, baby, burn. And the Lord says, I want to increase that burning. And people may not quite understand the burn, but that's all right because they were created to burn too. So as we burn together, we will be lit on fire. And this fire, this raging inferno will cap whatever we even can imagine. Could happen even in our little area here in northeastern Ohio. The Lord's saying, is Frontline ready to burn? Is Frontline burning to the place where I can bring it to burn as a place, as a corporate body? I don't worry about that. I just say, I want to burn. And I want everybody to burn together. And so he's looking for the heart that wants to burn. That's so intrigued by this message spiritually that they're going, that's me, baby. I want to burn. Oh, I was created for this. I want something to increase. I don't know what it is. I don't know what it looks like, but that's what I want. If it's in the Bible and it's in the kingdom of God, it's for me and I want it now. And nothing's going to stop me. And you can have anything that God has revealed. So yahoo, let's burn together. But I do want you to open your Bibles so we can validate this burn. Okay? And, you know, the Lord's so looking at our inward heart, and he's so wanting to increase our vision and that our holy lifestyle will follow as a result of this, that he gives us opportunities to see what really pleases him. And many of you know about Mary in the New Testament, and you know how Mary... Let's just turn in Mark 14, 3 through 9. Because I can talk about Mary, but it's always nice to read the word since it's alive. Active, sharper than any two-edged sword. And in the Lord's going to show us something here. So Mark 14, 3 through 9. Let's take a look at that. Thank you, Lord. What does it mean to burn? That is the question. What does it mean to love? To love is to burn. We want to walk in love. Love, what does love look like? It looks like burn. It looks like raging, fiery inferno. Okay? And this burn will become so attractive that if we have children, our decisions for the children will move around our burn, not what makes sense to our mind. Well, this seems logical because this time spot fits this time spot. And the Lord says, you know what? That's nice. But that's what all Christians do, and you're a good Christian mother, father, grandparent. But if you want to step into the burn, things might look a little different. And the Lord will move and show us how to step in where we won't say, whoa, 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 that's imbalanced, that's over the top, I don't know about that. A Nazarite heart doesn't do that. A Nazarite heart says, take that arm down, and I want to burn. That's a Nazarite heart. Okay? So think about that before you decide, is that what I want? Or do I want to grow in? Think about that. Because it makes us move into a place of possibly being uncomfortable as we're burning and then moving into another level of burning on fire for Jesus that elevates us, if you will, and accelerates us into a place of greater joy and peace. So we take another step that defies what makes perfect sense to our minds. Because this is what families need. Ooh, and the Lord's all about family, and I love mine. I'm so blessed. Mark 14, 3 through 9. While he was in Bethany, at the home of Simon the leper and reclining at the table, there came a woman with an alabaster vial of very costly perfume of pure nard, and she broke the vial and poured it over his head. But some were indignantly remarking to one another, why has this perfume been wasted? For this perfume might have been sold for over 300 denarii, and it's close to a year's wage. Some say 11, where you read, some say 11 months, some say 12 months. So, and the money given to the poor. And they were scolding her, but Jesus said, "Let her alone. Why do you bother her? She has done a good deed for me. For you will always have the poor with you, and whenever you wish, you can do good to them, but you do not always have me. She has done what she could. She has anointed my body beforehand for the burial," because this was the next thing on the docket. "Truly I say to you, wherever the gospel is preached in the whole world, what this woman has done will also be spoken of in memory of her." In other words, the gospel of the kingdom properly preached. Let's get that. Wherever that is, cool project, Ghana, your school tomorrow, your job, your workplace, whatever it is, wherever you are resonating the gospel of the kingdom. We carry the glory, the glorious one. We resonate him. And so wherever the gospel of the kingdom is preached, she, the remembrance here of Mary, is elevated in the Lord's eyes because she has done a good thing. This is what matters. This is what matters more than good grades. I'm telling you. More than getting it right with all the activities of our world. More than all of our outreaches. Because as we get our priorities realigned, then the rest of that will fall into place. And we will encounter, we will experience in greater measure. We are created to burn. One of our young people told me after last Tuesday night, when there was an outpouring of power, a big outpouring, if you were here, amazing, when this person was prayed for, basically just blown on, like, that's it. And the person has been prayed for many times, and responds to what the Lord was doing. Responds. There's a response. But it was a, if you will, an involuntary response, because this person was touched so dramatically by the power because of being an easy receiver and what God was also doing. This person said that this person had never felt that much power before and has had many encounters with the Lord. It's like, wow. That means there's an increase. That means there's a greater burn. That means that we're going from glory to glory. That means that things are accelerating. That means that God's doing something, and he's saying, will you contend? Will you contend? I want you to be so wrecked by me that you'll be able to do way beyond what Samson did. Look at the power and the might of Samson. We'll look at some of the verses in a moment. And the Spirit of God, the Spirit of the Lord came upon him, the Spirit of power and might, it says Spirit of might, comes on him. And he was able to tear apart animals and, you know, kill people, but push pillars away and do all kinds of things. But the Lord said, you know what? You are my consecrated one. And I'm going to tell your mama and your papa that that's going on in you. And I have designed it that way. Even before you were old enough to tell me that's a good plan, God, I had a plan for you. And I even sent an angel. And when I sent an angel, I sent up the angel again. You still didn't get it, Dad. But you finally did. That's okay. I'm a good God because I wanted to make sure you got this. And your question was, well, how do I raise this kid? Love me. Do what I say and follow the tenets of the Nazarite consecration and commitment. And it's very clearly laid out in Scripture. Why? Because they were under the law. We're not under the law. The Lord says, I want all of you. It's not the do's or don'ts. I want your heart. And then you will burn beyond what you can ever even imagine. So Mary got it right. She understood. And the Lord was saying, I love what Martha does when there's a Mary and a Martha, depending on what version you're reading and what passage. But in this scenario right here, we're talking about Mary, this Mary. And Mary here understood that the costly spikenard, the costly perfume that was worth a year, virtually a year's wages, this costly perfume was nothing. Bam, over the head, crying because of the worth and the value that Mary had. She understood what it meant to repent, what it meant to say, oh God, I love you, what it meant to say, you are awesome. You are everything. I just get in your presence and I'm weeping before you and I want you to feel so honored. And he was. Jesus was honored. And as he was honored and she's wiping the tears with her hair and his feet, Jesus said, I'm marveling in so many words. This is good. She's connecting in. As all the learned people watched. Oh, what a powerful thought. And I believe that as we're stepping in saying, yes, Lord, I want more, even with our crazy worlds around us, you know, we all have wild schedules and different things that we have to do. God is saying, it's time to think. Think here. Use this brilliant mind I've given you and allow your spirit to rise and take you into a place where I'm taken back. If I have burned before, whether it's 1, 2, 10, 20, 30 years, if I've burned before today, brighter than today, it's time to take that back and expect way, 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 way more than that. If I've not really burned or don't understand that, then we have an opportunity to step into that. But either way, the Lord's saying, come on, team. Let's climb that mountain together. Together. You heard an awesome message last week on covenant with Pastor Bill. It was really good about the covenant that we are under and the need for us, if you will, to move as covenantal people, to be able to know that somebody would take a bullet for you. Some of us don't know that or believe that or wonder about that. The Lord has interconnected us so that we can become so strong together that no man or woman or child is an island. And then we're able to connect, not just doing our job and doing a good thing for the kingdom and thinking about how it might look later. The Lord's saying, if we turn that around and take a look at where we are, our relationship with the Lord, with, you know, Mary-like with the Lord, God's going to do some changing inside of each one of us. Last week we had this amazing dance, What Can I Do For You?, which was all about this. What can I do for you? What can I bring to you? Thank you. It was beautiful. What can I do? I've seen it so many times overseas. I just lost the words for a moment. But it's just absolutely the message of humility, laying down, and stopping. But I can't stop. I have to do this and this and this. The Lord says, if we cannot connect with Him, where our hearts are being charged by Him, where we're burning, then something needs to adjust. That's just the way it is. But you don't know my schedule. I'm not preaching schedule here. That's an old sermon. Okay? I'm just saying that the Lord is telling us clearly that this is what works. And He wants us to burn. Okay. Oh, God is good. So Mary had developed a holy habit, which is really good. And she's an expression in the New Testament. What I'd like to do, though, is flip over to the Old Testament and turn to Numbers 6. And that's a familiar passage for some of us who have a little bit more connectedness with the idea of a Nazirite person or thought or whatever. Oh, it's okay. Thank you. Numbers chapter 6. The law of the Nazirites. When I read that, I think, oh, I'm freed from the law. Jesus fulfilled the law. But the Lord says, you really need to understand how this works. Because I am raising this up. I know that we were part of the call in 2008, in August of 2008. And many of us went to Washington, D.C. And it was a very powerful time. It was a solemn assembly that Lou Engel and many others put together. And they go all over the country and do that. There's another one coming up fairly soon this year. And many of us were there and on the bus and all of that and just trusting, you know, God, we're standing against abortion and for this country to turn back to the Judeo-Christian ethics and everything else. And there was a crying out, a repentance, a cry for the heart of God to be released in a major capacity in this nation and for us to do our part, take our step, and it's not a one-time event. But that's what we were part of. But the Lord says, did that stir you? Did that change you? What was that like for you if you were part of it? Has there been any movement on the inside of you? I'm not even looking at what's going on in the United States. In us. The Lord's saying anything that we step into, the Lord, He wants to fan the flame and say, that was part of my burn. As our hearts were conditioned for what He wanted to do. It's really, really amazing. And there were many Nazirite-like people, Nazirite hearts, people who were saying, Lord, I'm giving everything for you. In verse 1, again the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to the sons of Israel and say to them, when a man or woman makes a special vow, the vow of a Nazarite to dedicate himself to the Lord, number 1, shall abstain from wine and strong drink. He shall drink no vinegar, whether made from wine or strong drink. Nor shall he drink any grape juice, nor eat fruit or dried grapes. And all the days of his separation, he shall not eat anything that is produced by the grape vine and the seeds, even to the skin. All righty then. Point well taken. Number 2, all the days of his vow of separation, no razor shall pass over his head. He shall be holy until the days are fulfilled for which he separated himself to the Lord. He shall let the locks of his hair on his head grow long. Alrighty then. Gonna stand right out there. Verse 6, all the days of his separation to the Lord, he will not go near a dead person or a dead carcass, depending on your version. He shall not make himself unclean for his father or his mother or his brother or his sister when they die, because his separation to God is on his head. Oops. All the days of his separation, he is holy to the Lord. And then you just keep reading. I don't want to read all of it. You know, if you read all the way through chapter 6, but if someone dies suddenly, here's what you need to do. And then verse 13 says, now this is the law of the Nazarite when the days of his separation are fulfilled. He shall bring the offering to the doorway of the tent of meeting. And then if something happens to interrupt any of his vows, there are other ramifications. And then finally in verse 21, it says, this is the law of the Nazarite who vows his offering to the Lord according to his separation, in addition to what else he can afford, according to his vow which he takes. So he shall do according to the law of his separation. Alrighty then. Well, thank you, Lord. All right. If these guys and gals burned for the Lord, and they lived under the old covenant, and they were doing great and mighty exploits and doing all these crazy things, the Lord was not saying, I'm going to look at your acts. He's saying this is a condition of the heart. And if you're willing to step into this, there are meanings behind some of the reasons for these vows. Okay, one, when you shave your head, okay, you're shaving a sense, it was a representation actually for hair, of strength, accountability, power, submission, authority. It represented those things to others. And when people looked on, they said, wow, she or he's a Nazarite. Ooh. That meant that God was tracking really closely, because there was such a closeness from the Lord to the people that they were empowered when they said yes, because this was not any easy task. As we found out with Samson, who was empowered, but his pride got to him. And also, the scripture suggests that he may have compromised in some other areas with a party in chapter 14, which typically includes drink of the fruit of the vine, and also the carcass of a lion. It's like, you're not supposed to mess with this. Why not? Why can't you see something dead? What? Come on! It was a picture of purity. The Lord was saying, this is a representation of sin. This is a representation of death. And Jesus is coming to conquer death. You may not understand that, but I'm God and I do. So therefore, this is one of the laws as a type and a shadow leading us into what's going to take place. So therefore, you want to follow my heart, you obey and I'll empower you, because I'm going to be looking at your heart. A foreshadowing of what was to come. Let's step back from anything that would suggest or be defiling. I don't want any defilement. Now, these are Old Testament dudes. No defilement. I'm not going to watch that TV show. I didn't have TV. You know? I'm not going to look at that good-looking woman or man. I'm not going to look at that person. I don't want my eyes to be defiled. I don't want my body to be defiled. I don't want my heart to be defiled. I will stay away from anything that could produce spiritual defilement, aka death in me. Big choices. And so here's the list. And you think, what's three things? But there's a reason behind them. And the Lord was looking at the heart. So all of these areas of temptation, the Lord was saying, I'm with you, I'm with you, I'm with you, and I'm going to use you for mighty exploits. Now, some of these Nazarites back in the Old Testament, were Nazarites from birth, that the Lord had predestined, had determined, and had set them forth. Samson was an example of that. But others the Lord brought them into, not that the Lord didn't know it, but the Lord brought them into that, such as Samuel and Daniel. And Daniel fasted and prayed, and we know about the Daniel fast, don't we? But we know that for such a time as he was going to be leading and ruling from taken out of captivity and in the king's court, we knew that Daniel had a measure of leadership, and he was raised in that measure of leadership. And when he was so empowered. It's like, how could he do these things? He had made up his mind. He was so set apart, but he was connecting with the Lord. Chapter 1 of Daniel says, he made up his mind beforehand. I will not defile myself. I will not eat of the king's special food because I am a Nazarite and I will not do that. And if I suffer death, but I'm not going to suffer death because I know my God, and my God has designed me to do great and mighty exploits. You know, it's the heart he's looking at, not the law, even though there's a law that they have to follow. And that's where we have the privilege of understanding that in the revelatory age that we live in, that they may have had a taste of, but maybe not the full understanding or as much as we would have in this season. Oh, thank you, Lord. So the Lord is not looking at half-hearted consecration. You know, he's not looking for us to say, good plan. I like Frontline. It's full of fire. That crazy lady up there, yeah, okay, I'll say yes. I like what she says. The Lord's saying, like what you hear, but do something with it for yourself. And just say, Lord, I believe, personally, I will tell you what I believe. I believe that in this body, the Lord has called this whole place to burn. I believe Frontline was founded on that. I believe that he's birthed that. I believe that that is the DNA of this place. And I believe that we have stepped into a measure of that. And you can see. But I do believe that. And the Lord is saying there's really more. He's saying, are you willing to set yourself apart? Or are you willing to become more, well, you know, there's some cutting edge ministries out there and they're doing a really good job and their families are fun, and but our hearts are still kind of far away. Lord's really saying, how close, really? How close? Have you had a word or a picture or an encounter with the Lord or a challenge? The Lord has said, I'm looking for your time. I'm looking for your heart. I'm looking. And if you're like me, I just say, yeah, that's true. I need to do that. Yep. I do that. So I would imagine you may tend to do that at times, but I do that. But I do have a heart that's burning, and it's like, Lord, whoa. And then I have to guard what the Lord has already done and deposit, and I want more. Thank you, Lord. So he's looking at our overall lifestyle, and he's really giving an open invitation to those who are desperately hungry, except you can't make yourself hungry. You just can't. But you can appeal to the Lord and say, I'm asking you to make me hungry. I'm inviting you to take me over. I'm giving up control, whatever that looks like. You do it. You deposit in me that burn for you, and then I'll walk with it. I'll walk it out. I want to be the one on the edge up there. That's me. That's how I was designed by you. So that's where I'm going. I don't know what it's going to look like. I may have to give something else up. I don't care. But I'm inviting you to do this in me as I agree with you. And this is where it comes. You know, this is where the rubber meets the road. It's like, all right. Lord, do you see me with that kind of Nazarite flame? I'm not comparing myself to Susie Q. I'm saying, Lord, is there more for me? And do I desperately want that? Do I want that resonating inside of me? We're going to be moved by the next thing that is so hard. Okay? Am I challenged by my own emotions where I have a choice? It's like, oh, I'm falling apart. I think I'll go tell the whole world I'm falling apart. What's up with that? World loves it going, yeah, they're being real. How about going to a fellow Nazarite and saying, man, I just feel like blah, pray for me. And then we can hold each other up. That's the idea of this team approach, group mentality, covenant living. Because life is, you know, has its challenges for sure. Nobody's saying that's not the case. God is good. How far can I go? How far can I go, Father? When I didn't even think about this. I should have said it in the beginning, but I'll go back to it, and that is when the Nazarites couldn't eat of the fruit of the vine, and they weren't eating, drinking wine and all of that. The idea is that we are all designed to be filled with the Spirit of God, to overflowing. So the counterpart to that would be Ephesians 5:18. Be filled with the Spirit of God. Do not be drunk on wine, but be filled. It's a continuous filling. That means you're overflowing. That means you're busting out. That means that when they opted to say, no, thank you, it wasn't this legalistic, I won't drink because I'm a Nazarite. It was, I get it, God. I am so tracking with you. I'm so empowered by you. Holy Spirit would come upon them, and they would do great and mighty exploits. And they were seen. It's really cool. If you read in Judges, I love the life of Deborah. I just love Deborah so much. And I love, how Sisera rises up and all of that. And Barak, it's just a great, great account. But it just grabs me when I read it. I love teaching it and I love reading it. But when you go into chapter 5, it's kind of cool because some of the versions that you read, I want to read you a commentary from a commentary that I think will bless you. It's kind of fun. Oops. That's all right. This will, I think, encourage you. In the Nelson Study Bible, the commentary for Judges, it's chapter 5, verse 2. It talks about when the leaders led Israel. Now, Deborah's the leader, and then she's got her, she's got her helper, and she's working with Barak, and this Canaanite, Sisera, is coming in. He's just going to peel it away. I'm going to mess you up. I've got bigger horses, bigger chariots, more people, and you're going down. And she's going, I am not going down. Because I have the word of the Lord, and you have raised me up, and therefore I'm not looking at the size of the army, but we're going to win. And the guy who's working with me, he's going to get it because I've got a prophetic voice on me that says, you're going, girl, you go. Ho! And then Barak says, I'm tracking with you, and I'm not going there if you don't go with me, because the prophetic word put into motion creates the victory, is part of the creative victory. With people going in and fighting, there's still people. You know, there's a spiritual meaning, but there are still real people. But when you read about the people, this is what I wanted to read. It's kind of cool. It says, when the leaders led Israel, literally it means, get this, the long-haired ones who let their hair hang loose. Yeah. And in the Tyndale Old Testament commentary, it says, when long locks of hair hung loose in Israel. So the verse reads, when leaders led Israel, when the people willingly offered themselves, bless the Lord. So when the Nazarites loosed their hair and their locks in front of the outnumbered forces, then the people, the citizens there, the worker bees, so to speak, they're filled with, it's them! Yes, there was a sign, there was a symbol of what was going on in their heart. And they were supernatural dudes and dudettes. So they're going in with the supernatural power of God backing them up. Knowing they're going down. And it's not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. Okay? And they knew it. That's the Nazarite. It's like, you're not stopping me, baby. And there's more of us than them. That's not just for angels with Elisha and Gehazi. That's not, it's also for the Nazarites. The Lord's saying, you want a Nazarite heart? It's going to so overwhelm what you read in the Old Testament. But get a grip on a type and a foreshadowing. And if you're living less than a life like that, you're living underneath where we can be, all of us. Doesn't matter the age. There's a whole lot of little ones coming up. Who are going to catch this at an earlier age than any of us, that's for sure. So the supernatural power of heaven resonated in them and on them. And they walked with transformed countenances. They were the radiant ones. It was just amazing. Just flip for a minute. I didn't want to go through this whole thing. But let's look at Samson for just a second. Look in Judges, 13 and through 16. Yeah. It was a public sign of strength, you know, his hair. And he had, he had this encounter with Delilah. And as I said, he stumbled in along the way. He'd been a Nazarite for a while, and he had done some really cool things. And you know the story as a little kid. Hopefully, if not, go read all this just for time's sake. But Samson had these abilities from God. It's like, oh, wow, look at all this power. When we teach it to our children, they need to understand it's the Nazarite heart. It's going to burn for the Lord. It's not that God just came in and said, guess what? Samson slayed the animals, and that's what you do too. That's great. I'm not faulting what we tell our children, but also tell them it's because they said, you are God, and I live for you, and everything in my world surrounds you. Fathers do this. Mothers do this. Grandparents do this. Friends do this. Let the kids grow up understanding that they can burn when they're small, not when they're 16, 17. They can burn as little kids, as toddlers. What? I believe it. John the Baptist did. So why not ours? So what's needed? There's intensity of desire or a prophetic encounter of some kind to release these things. And the Lord is telling us that I will do great and mighty things through you, and then I will set your heart I will set my heart in you and on you as a seal and a sign. So let me get to Judges. Hang on a second. I just have to back up a bit so you can see this and think about it. Okay. There is sure an upgrade in the house. You know, it's so funny. I went to bed last night and I was, you know, just really meditating on a lot of these passages, and the Lord kept driving home Samson to me. I mean, I kept hearing it over and over and over. I just wanted to, you know, it's time to rest now, sleep and such. But I kept hearing Samson. So I said, Lord, you're trying to tell me something. You want to drive this home with our body today. Why? And he said, because Samson stepped into something so mighty that involved power. Okay? Not just a prophetic word that he was able to give. Or a good sermon or a good message that John the Baptist could give. Okay? Not the supernatural realm there, but more so in the might, in the power, the demonstration of the power. And I'm telling you, there are so many signs, wonders, and miracles that we've seen in this body. It's amazing. Some of them are on the website. More need to be there. But God is saying, I have released this over you. However, without a heart that's so burning, you can set yourself up to lose some things. We don't want to do that. We want our hearts to burn, don't we? We don't want to just talk about the blind eyes opening and the deaf hearing. We don't want to just talk about the boy that Bethany prayed for 2 days ago at Subway, who was on crutches, 14 years old, and she felt like she had angels around her because she saw them. Good thing to feel when you can see them. She prays for him, he's healed. I like that. That's demonstration of power. But the Lord's saying, that's my power. Where's your heart? A good heart. But those are the questions. The Lord's saying, check your heart, baby. All is check. Where, you know, you are amazing. Oh God, I'm spending time with you. I'm in love with you. You're romancing me. Boom. That's the connection that the Lord's really looking for, which will result in the demonstration of the miraculous things that we've seen here, many of them. Thank you, Lord. Just a couple of verses you can chew on, and then just read through this. You'll just have so much fun after you think about this. Chapter 14, verse 6, it says, the Spirit of the Lord came upon him mightily, so that he tore him as one tears a young goat. And though he had nothing in his hand, but he did not tell his father or mother what he had done. Isn't that amazing? So it's the lion that he had been tearing, but he violated he touched this dead thing and the carcass, from what some say, it wasn't a human, but there was a carcass, so that was, you know, just like, is this the way to do it? I don't know, I'm not God. But he talked about the defilement, put his hand in there, pulled out the honey, and it was a sign as well. So it's like, well, Lord, what did you think about that? Maybe there were other areas where there was a little bit of compromise. So that's a possibility anyhow.
Okay, then let's look at another one here. Verse 19 in chapter 14. Then the Spirit of the Lord came upon him mightily, and he went down to Ashkelon and killed 30 of these guys, and he took their spoils, because he had played with them with a riddle about what happened with the beast. You can read through that so you can understand it all. And they kind of messed with him, so he got mad and he did them in. Alrighty then. And so we went back and forth with different crazy things that Samson did, but the Spirit of the Lord still came upon him in power and might. But the Lord was saying, what about your heart, Samson? What's going on? So finally, as you continue to read in verse 14, in chapter 14, when he came to Lehi, the Philistines shouted as they met him, and the Spirit of the Lord came upon him mightily, so that the ropes that were on his arms were as flax that is burned with fire, and his bonds dropped from his hand. He bound a fresh jawbone of a donkey. He found a fresh jawbone of a donkey. So he reached out and he took it and he killed 1,000 men with it. He was one angry dude. Why did he do that? So, I mean, there's, you know, decide whether this is something that God was inspiring or not. And that's where you can read and you can decide that. And the question is answered there. Verse 17, when he had finished speaking, he threw the jawbone from his hand and he named that place Ramoth Lehi, which means the jawbone hill. And then he became very thirsty, and he called to the Lord and said, you have given this great deliverance by the hand of your servant. So the Lord was still working in deliverance, but the question is, what was going on in his heart? This is the point. What was going on? We can try to see, because we can see the rest of the story. We know what the outcome was, and we know that death was had by many. But we also know that he slept with a harlot, he met with a harlot, and then he was tempted by Delilah. And it's like, what in the world? Because his wife was given away by her father. You know, there's a whole little story in here. It's like, is there anger going on here? What was God really doing? Were you tracking with the Lord? What happened? Why did you give in to this woman? Come on. I mean, three times she asks you, what's the secret to your power? And you give her some story, and it's not the truth, and then you go, bah, you show your power, and you're messing with her. But at the same time, she's, you know, hacking at you, going after you over and over and over again, the scripture says. And then, finally, he gives in and says, okay, okay, okay. It's my hair, all right? Didn't that mean anything to him? I mean, did he just say, I couldn't help myself? What was going on in his heart that got him to that place? Was there a lot of pride going on because he was this mighty dude and everybody was like, whoa, Samson? Something was happening. And God is saying, be on your guard, Nazarite. Be on your guard, Nazarite. Those who've claimed, I want to walk as a Nazarite. You see? Be on your guard, because it's oh so slow, oh so tricky. And this is what the Lord was driving home to me. It's like, whoa, I'm preaching about Nazarites, Lord. And he says, yes, but make sure this is seen and known. It's like, yeah. So he gives in to Delilah, messes with her. He falls asleep on her knee, and then she comes in and makes sure that his hair is cut and goes, ah, ha, ha, the guys are there, and they're surrounding you. They're waiting till dawn to go ahead and do you in. And she had done that three other times before. What's wrong with this man? So finally, just as the nature of the enemy is, push, push, push. I gotta really do something to that Nazarite. He is a pain and he's going down. And so he lost his strength, and then these dudes came in and they got his out. Not pretty, not good. What part of that do you tell your kids? So you think, what is the message here? How do we embrace Samson? But the Lord let him finish well. He repented of sorts and said, God, please, just give me, I'll go down with them, but get me one more opportunity to take them all down, because you called me to be a deliverer. So I'm asking, Lord, for your mercy, for my two eyes. And also I want to take more out. And the Bible says that he did. And that's when he put his hands on the pillars and they all came tumbling down. And so did he. So did he finish well? I'll leave that up to you to determine. But the Lord is saying, we must be hot and stay hot. If we don't stay hot, the enemy will see. He will see that the sizzle just ain't no more. He will see the sizzle isn't so hot. He will see it's just kind of a little slow burn. It's on low instead of on high. You see? And we really need to take advantage of those times when the Lord's saying, do you feel my closeness? Are you tracking with me or not? If not, let's do that. Let's start over. Which means let's just say yes. And then we accelerate again. I mean, that's the mercy of God. He's so good. He doesn't say, well, you need to take 2 more years of Frontline Training Center and then you'll be up to speed. It's not how it works. He says, I'm after your heart. So if your heart says, yes, that's me, count me in. It's like, wow, God, you are so faithful. You are so good. I'm just going to give you a couple of verses to read on your own so we can go into something else here. Just write these down if you're taking notes. Just a few things that Jesus said about John the Baptist, because he was definitely such a forerunner and such a Nazarite from birth, from conception. John 5:35 says, he was a burning and shining lamp. These are Jesus' words. He said, he's a burning and a shining lamp. So if he was burning and shining, and there was none greater than John the Baptist, we should be burning more and shining more. Because Jesus has been, he's done everything and it's finished. It's like, wow, that means we have the capacity. Doesn't mean you're doing it wrong. This is the message, you're doing it wrong. No. The Lord says, your capacity to burn can be increased by me. I love it. Another verse you can write down and look it up sometime, Luke 1:16-17. It says, he will turn many of the sons of Israel back to the Lord their God. He was used to usher in Jesus' coming, but in the preparatory time, many sons are coming back. Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Okay. Another one is Matthew 11:11. It says, this is another word of Jesus. You can write it down. Among those born of women, there has not risen one greater than John the Baptist. Do we have to eat locusts? Do we have to live in the desert? Or can we eat locusts? And can we eat in the desert or live in the desert? The idea is, Lord, I'm up for anything. That's the idea. That's the picture that we're seeing. He was called to live in the desert and eat locusts. The point being, he lived a very prayerful and fasted lifestyle from the beginning, filled with the Spirit of God, wisdom of God. Amazing. It's like, Lord, I'm ready to burn for you. I am going out. You use me. I'll preach. I'll pray for healing, deliverance. I'm going to see an end to abortion in my lifetime this year. Oh God, I'm going after it. You're going to tell me. You're going to tell me what to pray for. You're going to tell me how to fast. You're going to tell me, and it's going to be so hard for me to not, because that's what Nazarites do. They burn with the heart's desire of the King. Whether there's a schedule or not, whether there's a Friday or not, you see, it's like, oh, inside. That's what God's doing in this hour. And there are other crazies all over the world, like many of us here. And the last couple of verses, just write this down, Song of Songs, in chapter 8, verse 6. I think it's one of Jamie's favorite verses, because she got totally wrecked by this verse, I believe, in Mozambique last summer, if I recall. Place me as a seal over your heart, like a seal over your arm. For love is as strong as death, its jealousy as unyielding and unbending as the grave. That's how much power is behind our jealous God. Our God is so jealous for our affection that it's, even the grave can't stop it. It's more unyielding than death. Meditate on that verse for the next 100 years. Like, whoa, wait. I don't get this love thing. And the only other verse I want to have you highlight, if you've written down the other ones, that's great. But Psalm 34:5, I already quoted it, but those who look to him are radiant and their faces are never covered with shame. And I remember going through a very challenging time in my life and memorized that Psalm 34, and that was one It was so important to me. The whole psalm, but that verse, it was like, their faces are radiant. It's like, okay. In the middle of my tears, yes, your face can glow. Your face can be radiant. In the middle of the pain, yes. Why? Because Nazarites burn in the middle of the Kleenex under the eyes. You still burn. There's a difference. What we're going to do is listen to two songs very quietly and let the Lord speak to your heart. And we're going to pass out a little form that I never want to see again. It's yours. I want you to look at the words. Someone can help me. They're back there. Thank you, someone. You shall. And if you want to step into this to renew or for the first time to say yes, then do that and date it, sign it, read it first. But don't wait till you spend some time in the presence of the Lord, because there is commitment involved. And it's not for me. It's for you. Because we're born to burn. Thank you, Lord. So Andy, put on the first one. These are familiar ones, maybe. But just want you to just quiet your hearts and hear what the Lord is saying to you personally right now. The Lord is saying, I have spoken. The response is on your end. And I will do the work. And I will back you up. There's an anointing that God wants to release and increase. And we can have everything God gives if we want that. Is there anybody who did not get one? There should be one paper. This is for you. If it's your heart already, there. Take me deeper, Lord.
You as a seal upon my heart. lift up your heart. Lift up your passion. Let Him hear your cry tonight. God, come dwell inside of us. Come burn in every part of us, Father. Our heart is yours, God. Our heart is yours. Lift your voices. Our heart is yours, Lord. Our heart is yours, God. We desire you, Lord. We hunger for you, God. We hunger for you, God.
Nothing we want more. There's nothing we want more. There's nothing we want more. There's nothing we want.
Paper, if you haven't read through that yet, just keeping in mind that in Israel's darkest hours, there were times of moral decline, and God raised up a company of people, a prophetic people, and He's doing that again today all over the world. And there's a countercultural resistance to the sexual immorality and the various things that are out there that are really trying to rob this generation and the next generation, the next generation. And the Lord says, you can be one of those fiery flames. And if you already have stepped into that, just continue to embrace it. Andy, you can go ahead and get that going. This is just a closing song here to just enable your heart to be expanded. The Lord would say, let me fill up right now. Let me fill up, because today, with this declaration, there'll be a change for you, a big change.
Lamb who was slain.
Thank you, Jesus.
Holy, holy is He.
Yes, Lord. Count me in, Lord.
Sing a new song to Him who sits on heaven's mercy seat.
Yes, Lord.
Worthy is the
language.
Holy, holy is He.
Yes, Lord, worship You.
Sing a new song to Him who sits on heaven's mercy seat.
with all creation I sing praise to the King of Kings. You are my everything, and I will adore you. Oh, just wanna be where you are. Just wanna stay where your presence lingers. I adore you. I adore you. I adore you. Come on, sing out in your own words. Tell him, Jesus, we adore you. You're why we're here. You're why we sing. I'm gonna follow you with my song. Follow you with my heart, Jesus. Oh, we adore.
Father, we just thank you, Lord, for this beautiful morning. And thank you, Lord, that you are our everything. Thank you, Father, for being with us today, Holy Spirit. And we love you, Jesus, with everything in our hearts. And we thank you, Lord, that we leave this place empowered and strengthened and renewed and lit on fire, Father, in the deepest places inside, beyond what we've experienced before. We thank you, Lord, that you've opened up a new place in our hearts, a deeper place, Lord. And we thank you, Lord, that our burn is increasing. And Lord, that our sensitivity and our love for you and others is also increasing as a result. So we thank you, Lord, for the revelation today. And thank you, Father, for this wonderful group of people. I thank you, Lord. I'm so blessed. I'm so blessed. Lord, may your presence just go with each one of us as we leave this house. And Father, may we demonstrate your love, your grace, your mercy and power to everyone we meet in expectation that you back us up in every way, on every front, because that's who you are. We love you and we praise you in the name, the mighty name, the matchless name, the glorious name, the magnificent name, the resurrection power name of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Amen. Ooh.